Hey everybody, welcome back to the most inconsistent podcast on the planet. I'm your host, a guy you heard from a month ago. What's up, people? I'm sorry. I just been really bad with this. But we're doing it now, so quit fucking complaining. When was the last time we did this? In the middle of February, I think. Was it I'm gonna check right now. When we did this. I mean, it's so unfortunate just because I got a new podcast cover. You guys see the cover art on this podcast? It's fucking amazing. It looks so good. And I just got it. And now I don't even fucking do the podcast anymore. February 18th. So it hasn't even been a month. Right? Because today is the 14th. There we go. This podcast comes out at least once a month. That's why it's so great. I mean, let's be honest. You guys probably got tired of hearing from me every fucking week, right? Right? Just constantly just complaining about, you know, my taint or whatever. Damn. I'm looking at the stats of the fucking last episode, and you guys really liked it. I'm looking at, like, the listening time. You guys really made it through the entire fucking thing. Damn. Well, good for you guys. Okay, well, that kind of motivates me to do this a little bit more. What's up, people? How have you been? I hope you guys have been just fantastic. I've been okay. I've been great, actually. I've been fucking amazing. I don't know why I said okay. I feel like that's just everyone's so depressed these days that you have to say, yes, I'm okay, just to not bum everyone else out, even though I'm feeling great, dude. Great these days. With the exception of seasonal allergies, that shit is really, it's really killing my springtime boner. I don't know when spring is officially, by the way. Is it still winter? I mean, I know each season is 3 months, right? So winter started sometime in December, and then it did start in December, right? Dude, I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know seasons. I feel like as an adult, I should know this. Like, the exact day when winter starts. I also don't know what happens with, like, Groundhog Day. Like, is that really a thing? Like, if the groundhog, if they don't see it, or the fucking thing doesn't see its own shadow, like, then there's 6 more weeks of winter. No, if it does see, I don't even know how Groundhog Day works. What the fuck? I don't even know when Groundhog Day is. It's when the groundhog sees his shadow and gets scared and then goes back in the hole. That means 6 more weeks of winter, right? But if the groundhog doesn't see a shadow and then just comes out, then it's spring? Why are we basing our seasons off of fucking groundhog? Is that actually a thing? Like, we actually base it off some fucking random animal? And is it the same groundhog every year? Is this just like, do I just sound like a complete idiot right now? Like, maybe Groundhog Day is not even a thing. Like, maybe I'm just overblowing this whole thing out of proportion. Like, maybe I sound like I'm complaining about Santa Claus right now or the Tooth Fairy. Like, I can't believe you guys just let this fat guy come down into through your chimneys and eat your cookies. That's wrong. You're just gonna let this white straight male come and take your property and colonize your cookies. This is 2021, man. Black Lives Matter. Yeah, so I don't fucking know how Groundhog Day works. But yeah, like I was saying, my fucking allergies are such a boner kill. They used to be a lot worse, I will say that. But these days it's still just like, you know, you're sneezing into your mask, and that is an awful experience, sneezing into your mask. People make fun of people who pull down the mask to sneeze. Like, dude, what's the point of the mask if you're just going to sneeze everywhere else? I'll tell you why I pull down my mask every time I sneeze, dude. I'll sneeze into my sleeve. I'll sneeze into a napkin, but I don't want to sneeze into the fucking mask, and then I'm breathing in my fucking sneeze for the rest of the day. The fucking mucus droplets are just rubbing against my upper lip. Like, why would I do that? If you sneeze into your mask, you're disgusting. You're a gross human. Okay? I would know because I've done it before. You're a gross human person, and you probably eat your boogers. I'm just gonna come out and say it. You probably just feast on your nose. Your nose is a fucking amuse bouche that you eat right before dinner or supper. What's the difference between dinner and supper? I feel like supper is such a white person thing. Is supper before dinner or is it the same thing? It's like I feel like supper is like 5 p.m. I feel like you can't have supper at like 9. Look at me go, dude. This is so Seinfeld to me. What's the deal with dinner and supper? What's the deal? Is it supper? Is it dinner? So yeah. Don't sneeze into your mask. Allergies are worse. The worst. Allergies, I worry about seasonal allergies more than I do about corona. Because my fucking, dude, seasonal allergies, they last an entire fucking season. Like, for the entirety of spring, March, May, April. Wait, no. Yeah, March, April, May. 3 months, dude, I have to deal with allergies. And it's like being like, it's like having a cold for 3 months. If I had the option of, like, getting corona, which, what, it lasts like a week? The symptoms, and I'm so fucking ripped and healthy that I probably wouldn't even be feeling anything. I'd be asymptomatic as a motherfucker because I'm just so in shape. So if I had the choice between corona or fucking, you know, seasonal allergies, I pick corona every time. Yeah, give me that Rona. I lost my sense of taste. That's fine. Start eating my girlfriend's ass out. It's not a big deal. You know? It's a plus for our relationship. Yeah, seasonal allergies, man. It's the worst thing. And it's crazy too, just because you know it's bullshit. Like when humans just lived outside and we were like picking berries and we were hunter gatherers, like I don't think seasonal allergies didn't exist. We didn't start coughing because of trees. It is such a modern day thing, and like I am so pissed off at my body for reacting that way to like such a natural thing of which is pollen, you know? I don't see why it has to do that. And so I try to like go outside and, you know, hump a tree or whatever, right? Fucking do cocaine bumps off a nice oak just so I can get some pollen in my nostril, and then maybe that'll build some immunity. But yeah, I mean, I'm still sneezing or whatever, and it's fucking annoying. I mean, the worst part is, and I don't know if anyone has allergies that are this bad, but the point where like your nose just gets clogged up, and then you're trying to go to sleep, but you can't breathe through your nose. You can't breathe through your nose. It's literally completely clogged, so you have to breathe through your mouth for 8 hours, and you know, you can't do that. You can't go to sleep breathing through your mouth. It's just impossible. Your body just doesn't let you do it. Your mouth dries up, your throat gets really scratchy, and like it just doesn't feel good. Like your mouth just comes completely dry, and like you can't sleep under those conditions. And I don't know, with my allergies, like what's happened is usually I will get to sleep, but it's like 6 a.m. at that point, and then I get like 3 hours of quality sleep, and then I fucking wake up and I do my shit. And that's how it's been for like the past. Last year it wasn't like that. Last year was pretty good, but for the previous years before that, for like 5 years, dude, it was like that. It was the fucking worst thing ever. And when I was a kid, I didn't have seasonal allergies. I was just chilling. I was playing outside a bunch. I don't know. It's unfortunate, man. It is unfortunate. Poor me. Poor me. I am so not privileged in that way. Besides that, though, I'm fucking loving life. I really am. You know, the weather's starting to get better. And, you know, it's nice to take walks in nice weather. It's nice to actually move. I went biking the other day with my girl. We went around the city, around the loop in Manhattan. Just biking it up, man. My legs are fucking sore at this point. They're so sore. God, my fucking big-ass legs. I got some big legs, dude. I got some big-ass legs. They're fucking huge. I feel like that's an Asian thing, is having big legs. Like, Asians, you generally see them, like, they're skinnier up top, but if you ever look at, like, an Asian dude's calves or thighs, they're pretty fucking juicy. Asians are just built bottom heavy, you know? That's how I'm built. I got a lot of fat in my fucking thighs and my ass. I'm a thick boy. I am a thick son of a bitch. I'd rather have that fat distribution be like that, too. You know? Because it's actually, you know, having a nice juicy ass is actually in style these days. I remember growing up in the 90s, having your ass be as flat as possible was the thing. Which is weird. That's so fucking weird. Like, look at the main protagonist, guy or girl, but especially girl, because every girl these days has a fat ass. It doesn't make any sense. Like, what happened? Are you guys just doing squats? But that doesn't even make sense, because these asses I see these days are fucking jiggly. Fucking jiggling all over the place. It's like that. Well, that's fat, you know? That's meat. But, you know, white girls in the fucking 90s all had flat asses. So how did white girls in the 90s go from having just the flattest pancake asses to now all of them got booty? It's 2021. 30 years? Did they fucking evolve? Did their genetics change? Did every white woman hook up with a fucking Latino man and just give birth to these white girls with fat asses? What is the science here? I don't understand. I don't understand. Maybe white girls in the 90s were actually, I don't know, wearing like fucking Spanx or like really tight panties that just fucking flattened their asses and just pushed that meat into their bones, so their hip bones were just getting fucking condensed and crunched. What the fuck am I talking about? I have no idea. God damn it. I wanted to go off another tangent, but I just started talking about this ass thing. I just went with it. What was I talking about before this ass thing? 90s stuff. I don't know, dude. Playing outside. I know I was talking about my allergies for a while, but I don't want to talk about that anymore. Yeah, dude. It's crazy how, like, you know, the styles just change, right? I will say, though, like, you know, the 90s had some quality stuff. I will say, like, in terms of cinema, I think the absolute worst decade for cinema was probably the 2000s, which is, you know, when I grew up. It's my childhood. There were a lot of shitty quality movies that came out in the 2000s, man. I don't even remember the 90s, so I can't speak to it. But I think in 2010, you know, you got a lot of more high quality TV and movies. The 2000s was just like, it was like TV was still in, but it was still dominated by like those fucking networks which are shown, like they can't compete anymore, like NBC, ABC, CBS, and the majority of, and they were declining, but you know, that was what we all watched in the 2000s, was like the new sitcom on fucking NBC or whatever. And those networks don't know what they're doing, because they stifle artists' creativity, and the fucking network execs give people a bunch of notes that like just ruin the script. And you know, you don't have to quote me on this. You can fucking find an interview of anyone who ran a TV show on those networks. It was just like, it's just a fucking nightmare. Yeah, I mean, that's why TV was so fucking bad. You had, like, Big Bang Theory and Two and a Half Men were, like, the leading sitcoms. You know how much good comedy we have nowadays, right? how much good TV we have. We got like all those amazing shows on Netflix. Dude, movies in the 2000s, again, it was like there was no nuance, right? Like The Mummy. The Mummy was like a blockbuster hit. You know how shitty those movies are? And let me say, I'm a fan, okay? But The Mummy 3 was the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life, and I saw it when I was 12, okay? When I was 12, I liked everything. I liked Eggo waffles. I liked my friend Josh, who turned out to be a fucking dick. I liked, you know, I don't know. I liked muffins from Costco, which they're good, but they're not great. I loved them at that point. I was a very agreeable person at 12, but The Mummy 3 just struck me as like, wow, this piece of whatever, because I'm not going to call it cinema, because it was literally just a bunch of moving pictures. It was moving pictures, which is technically accurate. Moving pictures with sound. I don't want to call it a movie, because a movie provides an experience, you know, a story, some character depth. Mummy 3 did not provide any of that, okay? It was just pictures moving in sequence with sound. Right? And it was disappointing because that movie had Jet Li in it. And Jet Li was like my fucking idol growing up. And they just managed to fucking, you know, not use this guy's talent. And just really make all the fight scenes. And the story was terrible. And Brendan Fraser, he's starting to get old. So he's drooping a little bit with his fucking neck, right? See a lot of old white people with that fucking droopy neck. Oh, it's not great. So yeah, Mummy 3, man. And I think TV nowadays, it's just a lot more nuanced, you know? Everything's a lot more nuanced. The media landscape has become a lot more, what is the specific word I'm looking for? It's split up. That's not the word I was looking for. I'll just say it in like the more ungraceful way. It's just split up, dude. It's you know, you got Netflix, you got Amazon, you got YouTube, which, you know, there's a ton of creators on there. So people can actually afford to take creative risks and not try to appeal to every single person on the planet. It's like I just wanna appeal to my specific, you know, base of people who'd be interested in this. And it's funny because, like, that's how art works, is, like, you know, you can try to do, like, mass appeal, but in trying to do mass appeal, you end up appealing to no one just because it's very bland, and if something's bland, it's not relatable because there's not enough depth. But then, you know, the deeper you go and the more specific you go, you actually start losing audience just because things get too specific. But once you get very specific to a level, like a very deep level, it starts to gain mass appeal again just because, like, the depth is very interesting to most people. And I think if you dig into anything deeply enough, there's something universal about, like, any endeavor. So, you know, you could write a TV show about, like, fucking folding clothes, and you get into that at a deep level, like, it's gonna, you know, you're gonna realize a truth about life that everyone can understand, and you reach that truth by examining what folding clothes is like. Wow. That's a whole lot of fucking bullshit that I just spewed. But yeah, anyway, TV is good. TV is great. I will say the only show that was good in the 2000s, and I actually didn't watch this in the 2000s, but I started watching it with my girlfriend nowadays, is Hell's Kitchen. That show's fucking, it's so good. And what I realized, like, it is so fucking, like, edited too, but at the same time, it's captivating. Like I was paying attention to, like, the cuts, like, how many cuts the camera would make. And literally, they don't go 5 seconds without cutting to, like, someone's reaction, or cutting to one of the dishes, or cutting to another person competing for Hell's Kitchen. Like, it's just constant cuts. And, you know, that is classic network television, where it's like, oh, we got to keep people engaged, right? Because network TV, they think that audiences are stupid. So the editing is done stupidly, where, like, you know, you don't have a lot of still frames because you think the audience is going to lose attention, so they just keep cutting and cutting and cutting, and they think that's going to entice the fucking audience. And that drives me crazy, honestly, like, just watching all these cuts. It's like, can you just leave the camera on one person, or, like, have a wide shot? Like, I feel like I'm getting a seizure. I feel like I'm developing epilepsy from fucking watching so many cuts, dude. But at the same time, even, despite that, the show is so good. If you don't know the premise, it's basically, I think there's, like, 24 chefs to start, right? 12 on each team. There's a blue team, there's a red team. Red team is always women. Blue team is always men. And Gordon Ramsay is basically trying to find the head chef of his next restaurant, or a head chef at a restaurant, like a highly regarded restaurant. And these are usually in Vegas or fucking LA, or they're in a cool city. And so whoever wins the competition, they get a salary of $250,000 a year, plus being the head of that fucking restaurant. And so they basically go through challenges. Every episode is the exact same, by the way. It starts with challenges, then dinner service. Okay, so challenges is basically, you know, it could be anything. It's like, oh, try to cook using these ingredients, try to cook using blah, blah, blah. It could be anything. And so whichever team wins the challenge, they get to go on like a touristy thing. Like, they get to go on like a helicopter ride, or they get to go, like horseback riding, whatever. Whatever cool thing that city has to offer, they fucking do it. And the losing team has to do, like, shitty chores, like fucking, you know, take lobster meat out of the fucking claws, or, you know, if there's a bunch of fish that needs to be unloaded into the kitchen, they have to, like, drag, you know, fucking drag the boxes there. The punishment sucks. So that's the challenge part. And then the second part is, like, dinner service, where they actually opened up, you know, the Hell's Kitchen restaurant, because Hell's Kitchen is, it's actually a restaurant. It's a real restaurant that people come to, and you can actually go reserve, a spot at Hell's Kitchen. I was looking at reviews on Yelp. It has very good reviews on Yelp. It is pricey. I think if you want a prefix, like, three-course meal, it's, like, $86. But again, it's cooked by fucking, it's headed by Gordon Ramsay. So, you know, he's a 3 Michelin star chef. So it's probably worth it to go. But so they have dinner service, and then both teams fucking, you know, they'll serve dinner, and they fuck up a bunch. And at the end of every episode, one chef gets eliminated. And every episode, I swear to God, every episode follows that same formula: challenge, dinner service, elimination. And I just keep watching it, dude. Like, there's literally no nuance, you know, same exact fucking thing every episode, but I just want to find out who wins. And the fact that it's based in reality makes it, like, interesting. And I never really understood why reality TV was appealing until I started watching the show. Like, oh, I get it. It's because the stakes are real. There's, like, real stakes. Show's so good, dude. Gordon Ramsay is fucking, he's the most entertaining man. He's one of the most entertaining people on the planet. I think it's like him, Shaq, and, you know, George Carlin when he was alive, and Richard Pryor, but and Bill Cosby, you know, pre-rape. But yeah, dude, that dude, literally one of his favorite moves is to call, well, he loves calling people donuts. Apparently that's a British insult. I had no idea. You donut. You donut. I fucking love donuts, so I'd be like, oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you for calling me a donut, sir. I hope I'm a chocolate-sprinkled donut. But every time, like, someone cooks a raw fish, he fucking smashes it. He just takes his fist and he fucking punches the raw fish. And the fucking thing just explodes in the kitchen, and everyone just staring like, okay. And I don't even know, like, dude, you know, dining at Hell's Kitchen is cool. Just because, like, you know, it's part of the famous show. It's been going on for, like, 19 seasons, by the way. They're on their 19th season, which is insane. 19 years of the same exact thing over and over again. But Gordon Ramsay's literally just shouting at everyone in the kitchen. And, like, there's no window between the fucking kitchen and the dining room. Just the open space. So, you know, if you're in the dining room. I think a big part of the appeal is if they're taping the season, you get to hear Gordon Ramsay shout at 24 clueless chefs. And the chefs, the quality of the chefs that, you know, go on Hell's Kitchen are actually very high because they're all professional chefs. Gordon Ramsay actually explained this in a video one time. He was like, he was asked the difference between MasterChef, which is another show that he, another, like, you know, cooking contest show that he hosts, and Hell's Kitchen. And someone basically asked him, why are you so much harder on contestants on Hell's Kitchen than you are on contestants on MasterChef? And the thing is, MasterChef, those aren't chefs. They're amateur chefs. They're amateur cooks, you know? So, like, they have day jobs. I'm working an accountant by day, but I like to cook at night. And by the end of the show, they reach a level where they're professional chef. So you go from amateur to professional. Whereas Hell's Kitchen, they start as professional. And so Gordon Ramsay expects a certain level of excellence out of a fucking professional. And by the end of the show, they're just like top-notch professionals. So it's cool because you're watching elite people get, you know, super, super sharp. And Gordon Ramsay is about, you know, he's an angry guy. He has a heart attack every show. And what they should really do is they should hook up Gordon Ramsay to like a blood pressure monitor every episode and just check, like, just see how high, just see how high, you know, they can get his blood pressure and his beats per minute. And I think that should be another contest. You know, if you want to change the show up, you have challenges, you have dinner service, and you also have a third winner of the day, which is who made Gordon Ramsay's beats per minute go the highest and blood pressure go the highest, right? Because that's really what keeps the show entertaining, is just seeing this motherfucker get unreasonably angry and punch fish, call people donuts, call people assholes. You know, his face gets red like a tomato. I'm surprised, like, him screaming that loud. Like, how does he not shit his pants? He is pushing so much out of his fucking lungs. It's like, dude, I would have fucking dropped the deuce in the kitchen shouting like that for, like, the first 3 minutes. One beef Wellington, one rack of lamb. Yep. Dropped the deuce right in the middle of the kitchen. Would have plated off like chocolate lava cake. 27 minutes. That's good enough. That's good, right? That's going to be the podcast. I could talk about fucking Hell's Kitchen forever, so I'm just going to stop it right here. Because if I continue the episode, it's just going to be 30 more minutes of me talking about Hell's Kitchen. Like, after this podcast, I'm going to watch another episode of Hell's Kitchen, you know? Why talk about it when I can live it, baby? But you guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in once again. Hopefully it'll be more consistent in the future. But, you know, if not, then I will say, you know, probably once a month. I think I can commit to once a month. I mean, it just depends. The reason why I've been so, like, inconsistent with this is just because I've been experimenting with other media platforms, like different apps, different social media apps. And so I've been kind of, like, taking my focus a little bit off this. But I do want to keep this a consistent thing just because you guys are fucking, you know, the people who listen to this podcast are like, you guys are like the OGs, man. Like, you guys have fucking supported me since the beginning. So, you know, I appreciate that. And I do want to, like, create content for you guys. So, you know, let's see if we make this next week. I will, let's say 2 weeks, dude. I will make one in the next 2 weeks, another one in the next 2 weeks, for sure. I'm regretting to commit to that, but it's fine. I'll do it, okay? I'll do it just for you guys. All right. With that being said, I will end this podcast. Write to me at the email is in the podcast description. Write to me, and I'll see you guys in 2 weeks, or maybe a week. Who knows? Maybe I'll release another episode this week. I'm so unpredictable and mysterious.